Using the latest Zoom technology, Tony Broom Ministries now presents a message from God's Word entitled Advocate and Propitiation.
Well, here's one of those tongue twister titles, Advocate and Propitiation. Try to check your teeth and make sure they're in. Have you say that? Advocate and propitiation. An advocate is, the Greek word is parakletos. It's the same word that's talking about the Holy Spirit. One who pleads another's cause, who helps another by defending or comforting him. The same name is given three times to the Holy Ghost in John chapter 14, verse 16, chapter 15, verse 26, and chapter 16, verse 7. He is called the Comforter. Thank God for the Comforter. Those who do not know the Lord, those who do not have the Comforter during times like this, I don't know what in the world they'll do. It's no wonder that they go from network to network, from newscaster to newscaster, from one opinion to the other, social media. One says this, one says that. One doctor says this, one doctor says that. Somebody says wear a mask. Somebody says don't cover your face up. Someone says go out. Another says stay in. Someone says stay home. Other says go to the market. It's like three little pigs. One pig went to the market, other pig stayed home. People just don't know what to do. But I'm glad we have a comforter. I'm glad we have an advocate. I'm glad we have a propitiation. The Spanish rendering of advocate is abogado. It means lawyer. Jesus is a good lawyer. Now, there are some good lawyers in this world. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about the news piece that came on about the lawyer who was feeling a little bit convicted because of the case that he had represented. He had this case that was given to him by the state to represent a woman who had killed her husband. Now, whether she was right or felt that she was right in killing him because of self-defense, because of multiple abuse situations, that's for somebody else to figure out. But the thing is that she had shot him in the head and stabbed him multiple times, and the lawyer that had the case to represent her, he knew without a doubt she was guilty. I mean, he just knew it. He knew she did it. But he still had to represent her according to the state. So now he was torn up because he had done this and gone through all this, and he felt in his heart he knew that she was guilty, and yet he was doing this representation illegally. So that's the way our system is. Thank God for the United States of America. And I put my hand on my heart and praise God for this country that we live in. But there are some things in our country that really need the hand of God because it's messed up. There are things in our country that need the blessing of God and the restoration of God because we have come to the point now to where our legal system, it doesn't matter whether you're guilty or innocent. It matters whether you got a good lawyer or not. So this lawyer was representing this lady. And I do like some people do. I talk to the TV. Sometimes I talk to it out loud. Sometimes I talk to it to myself. But I was thinking, whether I said it out loud, I don't really remember. But I was thinking, how dare you represent somebody? You know they're guilty, and you're trying to get up there to get them off. You know, for goodness sakes, and you know in your heart that they're guilty. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, that's what I did for you. I represented you when you were guilty. I represented you when you were in sin. I stood up for you when nobody else did. We have an advocate. We have a lawyer who will represent us even though we're guilty. Now, he will not condone our sin. He will not justify our sin. But he will justify us from our sin. He will save us out of our sin. So our lawyer who represents us even though we're guilty, he doesn't leave us in a guilty state. He helps us. That's what propitiation means. It means mercy seat. As our high priest, sacrifice and substitute, Jesus totally satisfies the holiness, righteousness, and wrath of Father God. God had a penalty for our sin. He couldn't just wipe it away. He couldn't just do away with it. He had the power to do away with it. But he is a holy God. And his holiness, justice, righteousness, it demands justice. It demands punishment for our sins. So Jesus came in his sacrifice on the cross for us. He satisfied the holiness and righteousness and wrath of Almighty God. The wrath of God was poured out upon his only begotten Son. And there he bore the punishment of the sins of the whole world. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. That's a loaded verse. I'd like to take just a few moments to go through it. First of all, it says that God has set forth to be a propitiation. God did that. It's not that somebody had to twist God's arm and talk him into something. God is the one who set forth his Son to be a propitiation, a mercy seat. In the Old Testament, they had the mercy seat that was overshadowing, over top of the ark, had the lid on it. And they would go in and they would put blood upon that mercy seat, upon the ark, and it would be an atonement for sin. It would be a covering for sin, but it never really did justice. It never did cover up sin. So God had this real mercy seat. God set forth Jesus to be a mercy seat through faith in his blood. When we believe by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood, preachers have to preach the cross. They have to preach the blood of Jesus Christ, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We cannot get in this thing, and it's happening, brothers and sisters. Nowadays, it's a performance. Am I singing good enough? Am I doing good enough? Am I getting the crowd involved enough? That has not a cotton-picking thing in the world to do with it. It's the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. If the power of the blood of Christ does not change lives, no primary performance that we're going to do is going to do anything. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. God has set forth to be a mercy seat through faith in his blood. When we believe in the power of the blood to take away sin, sin is a bad thing. It's a hard thing to deal with. But the blood of Jesus Christ is more than powerful enough, more than able enough to do away and take away sin, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. That is, God says, because you have believed in my Son, I will declare you righteous. I will pass his righteousness on to you, and I will make you righteous, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. All your past sins are gone through the forbearance of God. Now, the last part of that verse talks about the forbearance of God. That is, God has put up with us. Oh, my goodness, praise God in the highest. How much he puts up with me and works with me and woos with me and helps me in all the things that I'm doing and going through. God is putting up with us. He is forbearing. He is a forbearing, long-suffering God. And thank God for that. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have this lawyer. We have this advocate with the Father. The desire of God, and he says it through John the Apostle, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. That's what God's will is, that we do not sin. But, and if any man sin, God knows that we're human. He knows that we are not sinless. But even though we're not sinless, we should sin less because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of sanctification, because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because of our daily bread provision, because of a whole lot of things. We should sin less. And so if any man sin, God doesn't kick you out of the house. God doesn't throw you off the wagon. God doesn't roll you off the world. What he says, he provides a way that your sin and my sin can be dealt with. If any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a lawyer with the Father. Jesus Christ is not only our advocate, our lawyer, but he's on good terms with the judge. I want somebody on good terms with the judge representing me, and Jesus is on good terms with the judge. He says, Father, I know he's guilty. I know he's sinned. I know he has come short of your glory, but he's believed in me, and he's done what your word requires. And I say all this, but they don't have to have that dialogue. The Father and Son have perfect knowledge and perfect deity and perfect union and harmony with each other, and they know what each other's all about. And before the Son can even plead on my behalf, and he does, he pleads on my behalf, he intercedes on your behalf, and before he can even do it, God the Father says, that's all right. He's righteous. He's justified. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He is the mercy seat for our sins. We can find mercy. And they sing that song at the mercy throne. Sister Dolores and Sister Charlotte, they sing that song, Dottie Rambo's song, the mercy throne. We have a mercy throne. We can come boldly before the great high priest and obtain mercy, grace to help in time of need we can find. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's good to know as a believer that he is a mercy seat for your sins. But it's also good to know that he is a mercy seat for those who have not even believed in him yet. Those who say that they don't believe in God. And the psalmist said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there are many that are out there today that are still wallowing around in the pits and gutters and hell holes of sin. But God has a plan for their life. God has the same mercy seat for them that he has for us. The only difference is, and it's a big difference, by the way, they haven't taken advantage of what God has provided for them. But you and I have taken advantage. We have come into the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God, aren't you? That we belong to him and we love him. And how sweet it is to live for Jesus. It's a sanctified Jackie Gleason. How sweet it is to live for the Lord and to know him as your Savior. And he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is the propitiation, the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died for the most wicked, vile, evil, ruler, sinner, whether it be a king or pauper. He died in their stead. He died for them. He died so that they could be saved, just like we. He died for us, and we're saved. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is what love is all about. If that isn't love, Dottie Rambo again sung, the ocean is dry, the sparrow couldn't fly, and it goes on and on, but if that isn't love, heaven would just be a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a message that people in here well in their 80s know all about. It's a message that people in our generation are coming to know about and need to know about. And it's certainly the message that the generations coming up now has to know about. They have to know about the love of Christ. They may or may not know about the latest technology. They may or may not know about the biggest ministry program. People say, well, I want to go to that church. They got a lot of activities for the youth. They got this and they got that. Well, what about the blood of Jesus? What about the cross? What about the power of the blood? Do we still preach the cross? Is the cross gotten too old-fashioned? Is the blood, don't preach that blood slaughterhouse religion. Well, it may be considered by some as a slaughterhouse religion, but it's the only way of salvation. You cannot be saved without the shedding of blood. And not just anybody shed their blood. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, God's Son, he shed his blood on the cross for us that we might be saved. Advocate and propitiation. He is both, and he's so much more. He's everything we'll ever need. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to share this word. Powerful word, the blood and the cross of Christ. He is our advocate. He is our lawyer. He is our propitiation. He is our mercy seat. And when life gets overwhelming and things become confusing, we can go to the mercy seat. We can go to our lawyer, someone who understands, someone who will plead our case before God the Father. The devil, everybody else can be against us, but God is for us. And if God be for us, who can successfully be against us? I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this word to our hearts. Help us to continue to have the power to reach the lost generation that we live in with the message of the cross and the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from God's Word entitled Advocate and Propitiation. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your mercy seat and high priest lawyer. You do that by knowing Him as Savior, making Him your Lord. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.